Geekaholics, it's the Bad Guy Podcast. Welcome to Synthaholics. Thank you so much for downloading our episode. Today we got another full house. We've got myself, Aaron O'Brien. We also have Dave Duncan.
Hi.
Hey, and we have Holly Michelle. Say hi.
Hi.
And we have our returning guest, Jeff Heller from the Film Dumpster. Welcome, Jeff.
Well, thanks for having me back, guys. And are you, Gail.
Are you living next to Oscar?
Oscar.
Oscar the Grouch.
Does it make you grouchy? Jeff, you are a Film Dumpster, and you guys are doing shaking things up there. So do you want to tell the listeners anything about that?
I would love to. Thank you, Aaron. Yeah, we are switching our website. We're rebranding. We've got a new name, new mojo. We haven't released it just yet. Our website's currently down. FilmDumpster.com is down because we're switching over. So hopefully within a week, the new site will be up and running. If you follow us on Facebook, which is just Film Dumpster on Facebook, we still post some things here and there, memes and some news. But by and large, we're kind of quiet right now. But hopefully soon we'll be up and running with all. We're going to be focusing on not just thanks to shows like Picard and Stranger Things and whatnot and Mandalorian. We're going to be focusing on not just film, but television and streaming as well. So
cool. Nice. Very nice. Well, we'll look forward to that when that comes up. Great to have you. We are talking again the next episode of Picard. This is Absolute Candor. This is part of the Picard series, the fourth episode in the season one. Guys, just quick takeaways for this episode. Jeff, since you're a guest, how do you feel without giving out too much spoilers before we do the show breakdown? Did you like this episode? Did you think it's going the wrong direction, the right direction? What?
I think it's going in the right direction, slowly going in the right direction. I enjoyed it for what it was. I know David has been pretty vocal about wishing this was moving a little quicker, and I agree with that. But I still enjoyed the episode. I thought it was pretty overall strong. He's a little more backstory than we've gotten before. It also kind of finally got us going somewhere, if it's not exactly where we wanted to go. Right. But at least they're moving, physically moving somewhere, which is
they're moving off planet Earth. Yeah. How about you, Holly? How'd you feel about this episode?
Sorry, I was trying to quiet my dog's tail.
if I had a nickel, right?
Shush you.
You hear?
Yes, I do hear that.
So I liked it. Lost in thought. I don't know. I didn't really. I don't know. I liked it. I felt it moved along okay, and it was like a side adventure. But I don't know. I thought it was fine. I liked it. I didn't have any issue with it aside from something I'm sure we'll talk about later on.
Okay. About you, Dave?
Al Moraine, count to four. Al Moraine, then three
don't
more.
Sing
that. Al Moraine,
don't sing
that. If you can see Al Moraine, move the fucking plot along, please, for the love of God.
Thank you for that. Nobody needed to hear that.
You're welcome. And Aaron, what do you think?
I think it's a bit slow, but I actually enjoyed this episode probably a little more than I enjoyed the last episode. So I don't know. I think it's like getting the band together kind of thing. So I don't know. I don't have like a problem with it so far. I wish it would move a little faster, but you know,
if there was 30 episodes this season, fine.
Yeah,
there's only 10, right? Next week is the halfway point, and nothing has happened yet. And I'm just like, move along home, please.
or move away from home.
for Picard, yes. Move away from home, please. Don't use Chateau Picard as your holodeck program. Oh, my God. They cannot get away. They can't get away from that. They spent
so
much money.
They saved so much money in set design, though.
They spent so much money on that. They're just, like, saving every bit they can. They're definitely going old school TOS, like, save every bit we can. We reuse the set as much as we possibly can.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get into full spoilers and talk about the show. Just before we start, though, just so everyone knows, obviously, if you're listening to the show, hopefully you are subscribed to us in one of our apps through podcasts, or you can also find us on YouTube. We're there as well. Please join the Facebook page, our Facebook page /groups/Synthaholics. There's lots of chatter going about Picard and all sorts of other things, so it's always fun to see what other people are thinking and feeling. And you can
tweet need my pain. The show is pain.
Tweet us at Synthaholics Duo on Twitter, and if the show is something you want to help support, you can go to our Patreon/Synthaholics, and you can help us to show that way. So, Absolute Candor is episode 4 of season 1 that came out February 13th, 2020, directed by our man Jonathan Franks. So, he is returned. Very nice. I liked how it was directed, too, so I can't complain about that. So, the story starts off on a planet, I think it's Vashti.
Vashti.
That's how you pronounce it. And
Vash is coming up an awful lot.
Yes.
I think the whole series, Picard is going crazy. He's obsessing with Vash because this name is coming up in the planet and the name of the Tal Shiar Secret Service.
He can't stop thinking about his old girlfriend.
He cannot.
So this is takes 14 years ago. This is obviously before Picard quits the Federation.
Although you couldn't tell by the way he was dressed.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was a lot, too. But Vashti is a Romulan relocation planet, and you see him beam down, and he's kind of like in, I don't know.
He looks like the guy from Jurassic Park at the beginning. Yeah, he's meeting Negri.
I was going to say, he's going on vacation, but yeah, he does look like that. Yeah, I forgot the guy's name from the Jurassic Park. But.
Yeah, the guy who's like giving Negri all the toys to steal the thing. He looks just like him.
Mm-hmm. So we're at the Romulan relocation planet, and Picard and Raffi are trying to help them, like all these people settle in, and Picard seems to have a close relationship with these warrior nuns that seem to. I've never heard of them before. This is new.
Nuns but this is in space.
Yeah, exactly. these warrior nuns are the Quat Malant. I think that's how you say it. It's a weird spelling. Anyways, but there's a young boy named Elnor, and
so cute.
They seem to have like a relationship between Picard and Elnor. So it's Elnor is looking kind of maybe for a father figure, somebody to
read him the Three Musketeers and teach him how to three musketeers.
Yeah, exactly. And, Picard kind of falls into it. You know, I don't think he doesn't enjoy it.
I despise children unless they happen to be Romulan.
Yes, exactly. and as recall, he wasn't as kind to Wesley Crusher in the beginning.
Get off my bridge! Shut up, Wesley.
Shut up, Wesley. So during his visit, we find out that Raffi calls him and that tells him that Mars has been attacked by these synths and that he has to leave the people there. And
what Raffi really meant to say is there's a screening of Mars Attacks on the holodeck that they all have to see.
And so he says he'll be back soon. Don't worry. It's just a minor problem, but I have to go check this out. And unfortunately, Picard doesn't really go back, and he kind of leaves everybody.
He leaves them hanging. Yeah.
You know, throughout the entire episode, it's never explained if that was by circumstance or by choice, that he never went back.
Well, because he quit the Federation, and he kind of just said, well, you guys figure it out on your own then.
Yeah, well, pretty much. But like later on in the episode, the only thing he even says that's remotely close to shedding light on that is he's like, I don't know when I'll ever be out this way again. But like, right. I don't know. It just kind of bothered me that like it wasn't explained why he didn't go back.
He's probably saying that because his doctor told him he's dying.
Maybe.
See, I kind of got the vibe that that's one of the things he regrets was never going back. And
exactly. For sure.
by choice. So I don't feel as if it was out of his hands. I think he chose not to out of guilt, if I had to guess.
I agree with that. I think it was out of guilt, but he also realized he needed somebody that could go toe-to-toe with the Tal Shiar, and these warrior nuns seem like the right pick at the moment. Right. So we go back to, so we jump back ahead to 14 years later, and they're on the ship, and they're flying to Freeland. No, not Freeland. What's the darn planet called?
Oh, Freecloud?
Freecloud. Not Freeland. And
can't wait to see her vapes and big fat clouds.
By the way, Freecloud sounds like a made up like social media.
It does.
Thing to have like a TV.
It's like it's like Facebook's cloud service that's coming out next year.
Yeah. So they're heading this way, but then we find out through a conversation that Picard's asked him to go to this planet Vashti. And when Raffi finds out, she's pretty upset. And then we find out, as we said before, that the holo program has a holodeck on their ship, the La Hacienda, and they made the chateau that Picard's chateau. They made like a replica of it, which is bizarre to me that that's even a thing. I'm not really following why they decided to do that.
Budget. It's the only reason they're doing it.
I know it's the budget, but it's kind of stupid.
It's extremely stupid because Picard just said last episode, I tried to make it work here, but this was never home.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got the best of both worlds now. He's on a ship and he has the vineyard.
I know.
So, I mean, it could be, they could write it into so that it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it, maybe there's something in there that too that'll make it, bring that part around in a story arc or something. But so Raffi comes in and confronts Picard, like, why are we going to Vashti? I mean, that's not anywhere near Freecloud. Why are we doing this? And he basically find out first he's looking for a warrior, so he's going to these warrior nuns, and also he feels he's unfinished business, and he might not, like you said, be able, ever have the chance to do this again. So that's obviously, important to him. He maybe felt like he left all those people on Vashti hanging. So,
and it's clear when he gets back that he did. I mean, the planet's in ruin and poverty and segregated, and
they all hate him.
Yeah.
You're the asshole who brought us here.
The rest of the galaxy.
Right. So Raffi kind of, doesn't like it, but she says, all right, whatever. So when they get to Vashti, it's the planet is surrounded by a security system with these basically attack satellites or something to that nature that forms like a shield around the planet. So if you try to approach it, they'll attack. And there's also this rumor of a
warlord who's got an ancient Romulan warbird.
Yeah, warbird, and he's basically out there trying to get rid of any non-Romulans out there. So there's issues, obviously, with the Romulans trying to be purists, I suppose, and keep out all the other different races and factions out there. So Picard
tricked them into leaving their planet.
you tricked me. Your planet was going to destroy itself. I know. So Picard decides he's going to beam down by himself and says, you'll just have to, if you run into that warbird, you're just going to have to figure it out. Sorry. So he doesn't have a lot of sympathy about that. So he beams down. And as you said, Holly, that he's just has seen a different scene. It's not the hopeful scene that he came down to before. It's like you said, poverty, segregation, a lot of angry faces, people probably lived maybe a very hard life too. So we don't really know exactly what's going on in that 14 years. So,
yeah.
And he makes his way to the nunnery and
get thee to a nunnery, sir.
And when he gets there, he sees his old friends are there, and he sees Elnor, and Elnor's all grown up now. Elnor's a young man.
Poor Elmo.
Looking like Elmo. He looks like a Legolas. And
he looks more like Elrond.
Yeah,
he down to the like purple Elrond, threads.
Actually. Yeah, he does, yeah. I think somebody did posted a picture like that, too, as well.
yeah, they did. I think Stuart. But,
oh, yeah, it was like, well, never mind. I'm pretty sure I saw a different one.
So, so Elnor, he asked Elnor to bind a sword to his cause. And Elnor's first wants to hear what's going on. He breaks it down that Data has a daughter or two daughters. One was murdered in front of him, and he's looking for to protect her and find out what's going on and get to the bottom of this quest. And Elnor says, oh, now that I'm older and I have skills, now I'm useful to you. Now you want me.
So sad.
Now you're sad. Legal, Elnor. Now I can want you.
So, but that's but it's very much like that, you know, like a strange father is like, oh, now you want to hang out with me, Dad. After all these years, you know, when I was young, you didn't care. So
the cat's in the cradle, the silver spoon, little Elnor Blue and the man in the moon.
There you go. That was a good musical reference, Dave.
Yeah.
Glad you got that one.
Thanks.
You know, some Cat Stevens. That's nice.
Yeah.
So Picard leaves dejected. Elnor doesn't want to bind a sword to his cause. So,
and only 7 minutes before the beam up, so I'm going to start an insurrection in seven minutes.
He's like, we'll beam you up in 7 minutes. And then he's like, I'm going to stir the pot a little bit down at the local bar.
I loved it.
Tosses the Romulan sign, steps on a little bit,
walks on it,
takes a dump on it, pees on it.
That whole scene seemed odd to me. This one because he can feel the room, right? I mean, he knows where he stands socially at this point, right?
Yeah.
Well, they told him at the beginning of the episode. They told him that they used his name and they didn't want him to come down to the planet. He knows,
right?
And he's also going crazy.
For a former diplomat, I don't know. Kind of feel like he made me want to, you know, go a different direction.
A little too pathetic about it.
I think he's forgotten about how to be a diplomat at this point. He's like, this is how we do the grapes. We step on them.
But he's not with the Federation anymore. He's really playing by his own rules. And I just felt like, I think he was thinking, I mean, obviously it's a show, so he wasn't really thinking anything, but Picard was thinking, you know, I brought these people here and these people had hope once and these people basically we're skipping merrily through the market hand in hand, and now they're segregated and pissed off and mean mugging me. So you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to lead by example, and you know what? They're going to have to fucking serve me, which I thought it was stupid that he actually tried to get service.
Right.
Can I get service?
But, like, going to, but.
But at least going in and sitting down, that was a statement.
Like, Garcon?
This is fucked up.
Garcon?
You shouldn't be doing this. But then when he went to order, I was like, okay, that's too far.
It would have been a little cooler if he was at a bar and not like a table on the patio.
Right? Yeah.
They could reenact the scene from Star Trek 2009. Where he accidentally touches the girl's boobs at the thing after when the fight starts. That would have been kind of great.
So as we've said, he sits down at this outside establishment restaurant bar. And he gets nasty looks, especially after he took down the Romulans only sign and stepped on it. And then one of the larger men come and says, I remember you. I was a senator back on Romulus, and you came to our planet. You spoke all these wonderful words and that you were going to save us and help us all. And he says, but it was all a big trick and you didn't do anything. And he was like, that's not true. That's not what happened and blah, blah, blah. But unfortunately, that's how this old ex-senator read everything, or that's how he
interpreted it. And that's how all the people see it as well.
Well, right. Sir, it appears you forgot to get reelected.
Well, he said, so, and then he wants to fight him with a sword, and he gives him a sword to fight, and Picard's like, I don't want to fight you, and I don't want to do that. So, and they start for a second, but then he throws the sword away. Picard throws his sword away. He's like, I'm not going to do it. And that's when Elnor shows up.
Tickle my Elnor.
He cuts his head right off.
He says, well, he gives him a warning first. Like, I don't want to kill you. Please don't do that. Please, let's just back off and let's. And he says, but, you know, I bound my sword to his cause. And And that's when he does cut his head off and basically says, anybody want any more of this? I didn't think so.
No, and he says, I regret your choice. And I got so excited. I was like, I like that. Next time I do something, I'm going to be like, well, I regret your choice.
Regret your choice. Now your jaw's broken. Yeah, so, and just when they all start, someone pulls out a phaser or a disruptor pistol or something like that, or a rifle, and it looks like they're going to try to blow them away, and they get beamed up right at the time, which was a little confusing, because how do they know beam up Elnor?
They didn't.
They didn't.
That was a little like, okay.
It's just like the end of Star Trek Insurrection, where they don't beam up Ruafo. Red Letter Media did a great little skit where it's like, oh, we made friends. You didn't beam out Ruafo? It's like, no, we just thought you were beating him up, so we didn't beam him out. Like, he could have made him see the light, you know what I mean? Because Picard's Picard, and they just didn't beam him up. It's like the opposite of this.
That's funny. Well, from there, they're up on up in space, and this is when that Romulan bird of prey comes in to start attacking. And Rios does a lot of fancy maneuvers, kind of flying into the security nets, trying to bring the Romulan warbird into the firing arc.
El Burrito, fire torpedoes.
He's got like another holographic personnel on board.
Yeah, El Burrito, El Burrito, fire phasers.
Now, let me ask you, are they speaking, is this like, do you guys recognize the language?
It's Spanish.
Does it sound like, is this a Spanish?
Yes. He was speaking Spanish, yeah.
Okay, because I'm
I only say that because the subtitles said so.
Okay, I didn't have subtitles on, but I wasn't sure, because it sounded, honestly, some of it sounded a little Irish to me in a weird way. I don't like Gaelic.
Well, he's an Irish Spanishman.
I don't know. It was kind of weird, so it sounded funny to me, so interesting what they were speaking.
What's interesting is that he's programmed that way.
Yes. So basically, there's a drunken Spaniard
in charge of the weapons.
Yeah.
So Rios is Mal, except for he's not Mal. So Mal just gets all the pieces of the crew to represent all the parts of himself that he's lost. Where Rios just lost all the bits of himself by making holograms out of all of them.
It's kind of weird. I'm not gonna lie.
It's really narcissistic.
Strange. Yeah, totally.
It's a strange thing to do.
I don't know, when you're so jaded that the only person you trust is yourself.
I guess, but I mean, you're trusting just a hologram. It's a computer program, so
yeah.
Maybe visually you trust it. I don't know.
Maybe scientifically he trusts it. I don't know.
They're fun either way. They're fun characters.
Yes. They are, for sure. But during that time, during the chase with the Romulan warbird, another smaller ship starts showing up and zooming in and out between the fight. And it takes some of the fire from the Romulan warbird, and they're asking to be beamed out. And Picard basically says, let's beam him out. And then Rios is... And then he agrees with them and lets them beam up the person on the ship.
Just and before they're destroyed.
Yes, and we find out that this is Seven of Nine comes on.
I'm pretty sure I yelled, son of a bitch, it's Seven.
they mentioned her in the opening credits as and also like featuring Jerry
Ryan.
Oh, did they? Yeah, they did say guest starring Jerry Ryan at the beginning. Mm.
And so we get her, and obviously she just went through getting tumbled around her ship, and she passes out right after they beam her up. The Romulan warbird gets one of its nacelles
severed,
basically ripped off by one of those security satellites, and so they're free to go after that. So
and then we have our obligatory.
Meanwhile.
Our obligatory Borg cube segment, which didn't need to happen.
So honestly,
shut your face, Dave.
I you know how I've been saying I haven't liked Narek. Narek's been kind of like my Ash Tyler. This is an episode when he brings Soji to that coolant area where they're skating back and forth.
Oh, God,
I actually like Narek for a minute.
Right.
That scene hurt my head.
You know, I agree with you. My issue with, there was zero progression to their storyline whatsoever in this episode.
Well, it's nothing happens in the Borg cube. We see him flirt with her or sleep with her, but then he says something that pisses her off every single episode.
Yeah.
And then we see his sister say, get the information. He's like, I'm working on it. That's the only thing that's happened the last like two or three episodes.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened in this one. I know.
And I'm just like, you're just repeating yourselves. Like, just
I just want to know more about the Borg ship. I want to know about what they're doing. I want to know, you know, I want to know more about that. And they're kind of skirting around.
They're just wasting so much time doing the same thing they've done already for the last three episodes. Just with their little nothing new has happened on the Borg cube.
They haven't revealed anything.
I mean, like, you know,
just more incest.
Oh, yes, kinky incest. He likes it rough.
Gross.
So I can see where you guys are frustrated because, yeah, the storyline isn't really progressing. But on the other hand, they are trying to get to a younger audience, an audience that's not, you know, really caught up with all of Star Trek and all that. And a lot of younger people have relationships. And I think that this thing that's going on, would you say his name is Narek?
Narek is the Romulan.
Yeah.
Yes,
so the thing that's going on between Narek and Soji, it's a lot of manipulation that's coming from Narek, and he's doing classic manipulative shit. So you get someone to like you, but then, you know, you either insult them or you push them away. And it's interesting because you're watching that kind of develop on screen, but you're right. It's not really pertinent to move the story along. However, I think that it's interesting because this is how they're trying to show that she doesn't know who she is. And yeah, him, you know, Dave, you were like, it was so stupid. Like, he kisses her and then he calls her a liar or he insults her or whatever. And it's like, yeah, that was. So what did I write about that? I felt that he was doing a good job wooing her at this point. And like you said, Aaron, like when he was like, oh, you have to take your shoes off. It's a Borg ritual. And then he like slides down the hall in his socks.
Which is by itself is a hilarious thing to think of, Borg sliding on the ice.
Yeah.
I just think he's like, full of shit. I just think he was just making stuff up. It just doesn't make any sense.
He was just kidding.
Yeah, it's a joke. It's like, He must have known that the floor freezes over somehow. Somehow he went down there or heard that that people have been doing this. And my only point is, for a minute, he broke that character of like, I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm not going to tell you who I'm from. And he was actually charming for once. Like, really, truly charming.
I thought he did a good job.
And the same thing with the Ash Tyler thing. It's like, come on, we know that he's going to double cross Michael Burnham at some point. It's so frustrating, and it's like, come on, can we not like paint this with paint by number? Can we just like make it a little more interesting? That's the only thing. If they did more scenes like with them skating and stuff like that on that floor, I would be like, I can see why she likes this guy.
Right. They're not. You know? It's not like the Star Wars prequels where they're just telling us they're in love, and so we have to believe it. They're establishing something with them, which is nice.
Right. And I think that Narek, I don't think he's completely sold to the cause that he is fighting for. I think he's truly interested in her. And his sister, even though she's a fucking creep, she does kind of make a point about how this whole cybernetic, his career has been her existence. And so he may be slightly obsessed with it anyway. And whatever, but I think that he is genuinely having a relationship with her, and I don't know, but
my only issue with the two of them is that, and I apologize for cutting you off, Ollie. And I think if he stays with the cause, say, and in the end he ends up staying with, you know, his true Romulan core, then it's a well written character because he kind of believes any well written bad guy doesn't think he's a bad guy. And which is, I think, he would fall under. His sister, on the other hand, Narissa, she's written very like stereotypical. I'm the villain. Yeah. I'm going to play it up, which I don't think it's all that interesting.
Yeah.
I'd rather be a little more subtle and more grounded in the we're doing what we believe to be the right thing. That to me is a more interesting villain.
Right. Right. I agree, and that's, I mean, like when you go with like the Deep Space Nine, when you talk about the Cardassians.
Oh, Golden Khan, just perfect example
you might think they're gross and all the bad stuff they do, but they genuinely believe that they're doing the right thing for their empire and
especially Golden Khan.
Yeah,
and some of the other ones were slimy and just awful people to be awful people, but Golden Khan believed more than anyone else, I think.
I guess that's what it is. I mean, I that's what I'm saying. But it's like so far, like Narek might be like vacillating, going back and forth. Like, is he serving the Tal Shiar, or is he falling in love with his, you know, robot girlfriend? So no, but
yeah,
you know,
she's coming off more as a Disney villain in my eyes.
Yeah, no. yeah, she is a little bit. Yeah, Cruella De Vil kind of thing.
Right. But Emperor Palpatine.
But yeah, is that a princess?
Yes, Princess Palpatine.
Yeah, I guess. So, but my thing is, I felt like for a glimmer of a moment, I was kind of going for Narek, and then he fucks it up at the end where, but, you know.
I couldn't feel for Narek because that scene was just so jarring and so out of nowhere and didn't feel like anything Star Trek. It just was like, what the fuck were you doing?
When he accused her of not being on the transport?
No, the ice skating thing. Like, it was just...
I like the ice skating.
Oh, it was weird. It did not rub me the right way at all.
It was very un-Star Trek-y, but to Holly's point, it kind of does speak to a slightly younger demographic than
young person is paying for CBS All Access just to watch Star Trek? I don't think they're paying for it at all.
It's only us.
And like we're the older people. Like this is trying to pander to a group of people that aren't watching it.
Right.
Well, that's a whole other subject that we could get into another time. But
I was gonna say, even people my age are in relationships where they're manipulated.
There's people my age that are in a relationship that are being manipulated.
Right. Right.
So I mean, it that happens. Period. There's just two things about this, about these two characters with Soji and Narek. Is one, I agree, they need to move this forward. Soji's looking into
reaction. Don't show it until there's something pertinent to show. I mean, like, it's fine not cutting to the Borg cube for an episode if nothing's going to happen.
But like, they need to, they skirted it for a moment about what happened with her and Ramda the Romulan. You know, they were actually going to kind of go into it, and then they stopped. And he said that Narek said, I could get you information about their ship, and that was the Romulan ship that was assimilated and became Borg. And what happens? Yeah, he's trying to do all that. But again, he's being so shady, the whole thing, that it throws off the relationship. And like, you wonder, like, okay, other than maybe an attraction to the guy, like, that seems like a silly reason to keep on keep a relationship with this person.
Yes, but
you know, that's a part, because I mean, like, sure, there's tons of people I could be attracted to, but if I know they're like acting weird or shady, I'll be like, you know what, you're attractive, but you're kind of a creep, so see you later, kind of thing. So I don't know. It's kind of frustrating for me to watch.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. Because I mean, like, yeah, he's like trying to woo her, and I get Holly's trying to, like, they're trying to play the woo game. But every single time he woos her, he sets himself back like three steps by just being a dickhead. So yeah, just, like, it's
yeah, exactly.
I'm just like, why isn't she actively avoiding him at this point? And they've already slept together. They slept together in the second episode. So it's like, okay, well, there's no really word for it to go, I guess.
All right, listen. I know this is going to be a little controversial, but girls are stupid. Okay?
Come on.
No, seriously.
She's a robot girl. Super smart.
So many people, so many females that I know are in terrible relationships, and they continue to go back to the bad guy. They go to the guy who's exciting, and they give them a little bit of an escape from their daily bullshit that they have to put up with, because I don't know. I don't understand it, because I'm not fucking stupid.
She's a wunderkind that exists 1,000 years theoretically before she should exist, with a positronic brain in a human body. A positronic brain that probably has
human
multiple
emotion
lives brains.
Does not, it doesn't matter. She's got emotions.
She should be advanced.
Well, sadly she's not. And she's just a girl who wants to be with a stupid boy.
Granted, she's 3 years... That's how it is. She's 3 years old, just like Cass, so this makes it even creepier, if you're counting.
Yeah, so he's a pedophile is what it boils down to.
And he knows that. Like, he knows that something's up, and I just want to get kind of, like, a little bit back on track, but he, you know, when he goes and he accuses her of not being on the ship, he's testing her to see if she knows He's digging. He's digging for information. He's building that relationship, and he's trying to get information. And yeah, he pissed her off, but it was purposeful. And I can't remember what he says, but
after he says it,
he intrigues her, and she stays because she's still intrigued because
he can get her information about that relationship.
Right.
But to build on that too, which is something, an aspect I didn't really think about, because we've been talking about why aren't the Romulans just killing her now? And the reason is because they kind of reveal this first. They want to find out if there's more of them or who made them.
There are more of them. This is the second episode where they've mentioned multiples.
Right, so there might be more, and because between Narek and his sister, they say there might be more of them, and he doesn't want to activate her like they did with Dash.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to keep her basically in her dormant period or whatever shit you want to call it, that her
superhero mode deactivated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So exactly. So that was interesting, at least at the very end, as creepy as their interaction between the brother and sister there.
There was actually something I actually wanted to kind of like rewind. Mm-hmm. So I really loved it. It was the scene where we actually go back to the cube, the artifact, and Dodge is researching the destroyer from what was said to her by the Romulan who was Ramda. The Borg who was reclaimed, Ramda.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess props go to Jonathan Frakes, because I just absolutely loved the way that while she was studying this video of Ramda, she's talking about the destroyer, and the camera moves in on her, and you can see Ramda's hologram, and you can see she's behind it, and right. The way she's talking about it, it lays perfectly over her face, and I was just like, that was fucking cool. Like, that was brilliant. I don't know who thought to do that, but I was really excited, and I was for it.
Yeah, it was cool, for sure.
It was
cool.
Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot that was when she was doing the research on Ramda.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like old Savick. Not Christy Alley, but the other. No, yeah, the other one.
Christy Alley.
No, not Christy Alley, the other one.
Oh, I forgot the other actress name.
I can't remember her name either, but she looks, that Ramda looks like the second version of Savick.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
But then there was the whole creepy thing with the sister, and it was a terrible scene. I absolutely thought it was poorly done. It was creepy. Your sister should never caress your torso, even if she is being an asshole.
She's trying to do erotic asphyxiation by choking him and jerking him off at the same time.
Okay.
I mean, there was no way physically she could have done that, because I'm pretty sure she choked him with her right hand and she was behind him. So, she couldn't have reached his cock. He's got a short hand.
I mean, she could try. I mean, she is Tal Shiar.
She could try, she'd fail. Their angle was wrong, David.
Well, it's video. It's TV. Their angles are never right anyway. What are you talking about?
Well, either way, it was a bad scene and it was creepy.
Well, so that's it for this episode. Jeff,
thanks for coming together, guys.
Yeah, but what did you think of this episode after we've gone over everything here?
Well, like I said, I mentioned this prior to recording. I felt closer to an actual Star Trek episode, or at least a TOS or a TNG. I'm sorry, than the last three episodes. I don't know. I just wish it moved a little quicker. Again, maybe they were anticipating being picked up for a second season, which is why they know they can take their time here. But Patrick Stewart's like 80 years old. They should move this a little quicker. We don't know how long it's been along for.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Holly? Do you still feel the same way? Or you said there's some other things that you wanted to talk about.
So the nuns, we didn't really talk about it, but...
Nuns on the Run.
The nuns...
nuns with the runs. Ew.
Their religion is essentially truth, candor, always telling the truth, always talking about your feelings
and combat.
Yeah, which is very opposite of Romulans, and so their religion is the opposite, and so they're so very open. And I loved that a lot of the dialogue in the episode was about being frank about your feelings and what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was really cool. I don't, the nun's mission is to basically eradicate the Tal Shiar, right? So
I always just they're at odds with each other. I don't know if there was it to eradicate.
I thought that they were like the big bad for them. Like they were like enemies.
They were enemies.
I don't know that they'd have been kind at all in any sense. but yeah, I loved that we were introduced to this culture of Romulans who is completely opposite of what they're feeding us about how Romulans are. Maybe that's going to be a good thing. Maybe that's going to be a bad thing. I don't know.
It's nice to see a different take on the Romulans because Romulans are always so darn secretive about everything.
Exactly.
Well, that's what it's like the Countdown comic.
I haven't read the last Leant. I bought it today, so just don't talk about the last issue.
I will.
Picard dies.
The oval arc was really about how distrustful the Romulans are, and how deceitful they are as a result.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I kind of like Countdown. I mean, I'm enjoying the series. I like Countdown a little more than I'm enjoying these episodes.
Interesting.
I mean, honestly, that's a really good point, Jeff. Both this and Star Trek 2009 and hell, the Skywalker, the new trilogy that Disney put out, for like the stories that happened before what they're telling us seem way more interesting than what they're giving us. And I don't understand why they can't make the present story that they're giving us and making us watch at least as interesting as the stuff before. But for whatever reason, the stuff before is vastly more interesting. The Countdown to 2009 movie, that was a great story. Like the Romulus blowing up, the red matter, you know, Geordi building ships, Picard being all this stuff was a great story. That would have been a fun movie. I would have liked to see that movie.
Right.
And the same thing with this Countdown comic for Picard. That seems interesting. All the stuff they're alluding to that happened, like, you know, how did Sheev Palpatine have a kid? Like, who screwed a guy that looked like that? I mean, all these stories are way more interesting than the stuff they showed us in the movies. And it's just like, this is a trend, and I don't understand why this is a trend. This is going back to 2009, like I said. I'm just like, why? Why can't we get the present story as interesting as the past?
One thing I noticed with the Countdown as well, which is not spoiling anything, Holly, especially if you're the first issue, and the series, is that to me they're moving away from Picard as a diplomat, and he is, I mean, he's always been the moral compass and moral focus of the series, and that's how he feels with this, you know, him trying to evacuate Romulus and everyone turning against him. I just feel as if they're moving away from his diplomatic side, and maybe it's just the character aging and, you know, changing his viewpoints. But Countdown, I feel like he would be handling things differently than he would have, say, in the original series.
Oh, I think he's just playing a different role in his life. He's no longer Starfleet, and I think Holly said he's just older, and he's like, I don't have time for this shit anymore.
Right.
You know, and he's like, this is racist bullshit, and I'm not going to stand for it. So yeah,
I had some more.
Yeah, what else?
Before you move on. Please. It was just a stupid little conversation when we were introduced to the little hologram room.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that the hospitality person, what is that character's name? I think the pilot named all of his little bots.
Yes. The I just saw that his name was, the weapons guy was named Emmett.
Okay. Well, yes, and what was the other one's name?
I can't remember. I have to look it up.
He's talking with Picard, and he's like telling him how all the specifications are correct, and he's like, "And we got your specs from Chibon."
From Romda the Romulan.
Chibon.
Chibon.
Funny.
You mean Michael Chibon, the guy that wrote the episodes, who was showrunner for the first season?
Shaban.
So it just made me laugh. I thought that was great. And then I feel like there was something else. I really did enjoy Elnor. Mm-hmm. I really like his character. I feel like he could be trouble. He's kind of like a, you know how Sheldon Cooper is very blunt.
Mm-hmm. He's going to chop someone's heads off three times.
And that's how he was raised as well. Yeah. So.
So I feel like he's going to be a bit of the comedic relief here on out.
The show needs levity fiercely.
I liked the when they finally have the, you know, at least when they're in the holodeck version of Picard's chateau. I liked their interaction together. I liked the team You know, the
crew. Oh, yeah, there was good acting and good dynamics there for sure.
I like the doc, too. There was something that is said. She's like, you know how she's always chatting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She says something about how the nuns, their religion is to always be truthful and always say what's on their mind. And she's like, that could get kind of annoying, don't you think? And I was like, case in point you, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
she is kind of annoying.
But I love her.
I like her. I think she's interesting.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Jurati or something?
Is that Jurati? Yes.
Yeah. Maybe, just maybe ageist of me to say, but they keep mentioning her being as the foremost authority. I imagine someone a little older, yeah. But, you know, she's a decent enough character, so I can't.
I mean, does it say how old she is? Because I'm going to be 31, and I look like I'm 18.
Yeah,
legit. Enough. I look like I'm, like, maybe 20.
Right. Well, some people do age definitely differently.
Yeah.
Like Baby Yoda, for instance. So.
In 50 years, you reach. Looks so cute with you, not.
There's another thing, actually, that I thought was really, really interesting was the qualifications for why one of these warriors would bind their sword to a cause. And it actually, the doctor kind of gets us the answer. When Elnor decides to join the cause and they get on the ship and she's like, so what is the criteria for, you know, choosing to go on with bind your sword? And he's like, has to be a lost cause. And they just like nonchalantly just keep walking and she stops like, what?
Suicide mission.
It was a funny comment, but that also means that Picard was well aware it was a lost cause going into it if he knew that Elnor would only help him if he thought it was a lost cause.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if he... So I love that Elnor was still there. I mean, I get that that's kind of sad because it is a sisterhood, but...
Right, yeah.
I really did love that he was still there and now he's got a purpose. And I think Picard says something about how they could be intertwined. And I know that Elnor was upset and I totally understand feeling rejected and then being the one who could reject in return.
Right.
And I'm so glad that he chose to go with Picard, although I think that he's going to be struggling with this decision for the remainder of the season, at least.
Possibly. I mean, at least he seems like an interesting character.
If they don't kill him next episode.
Captain Jurati, or Dr. Jurati is played by Alison Pill, and she's born in 85, so she'd be 34, 35 right now.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So she,
still seems young, but again.
That's still pretty young. Yeah. But also, she was working in that lab 14 years ago when the synths destroyed the Mars project, so.
She was pretty young.
She was Wesley Crusher's age.
She would have had to have... I mean, they all but shut down that program, so maybe that's why she excelled, because she was really pretty much one of the only people in that.
Yeah, maybe her dad slept with the Traveler, and that's why she's super smart, too.
Oh, God.
Yeah, okay. Dave, thank you. Anything else? Anything else?
Holly? No, I don't think so. I think that was pretty much everything I wanted to say.
The perfect end cap to your statement.
And Dave, the actress that took over Christy Alley's part for Savick is Robin Curtis.
Yes, Robin Curtis.
Isn't it Kirsty? Isn't it Kirsty Alley?
Kirsty.
I think it's Kirsty.
Whichever. But yeah, she was in Star Trek 2, and then, yeah.
And Ramda the Romulan is played by Rebecca Wasacki.
But she does look... She's a strong resemblance to Robin Curtis. Or at least, you know...
Yeah, actually, when you see the pictures side by side, they're just...
It looks like that could be old Robin Curtis. I mean, I don't know what Robin Curtis looks like old, but if you extrapolate what she did look like, it does look remarkably similar. It's pretty cool.
She does con still, so you can see her someday, maybe.
Cool.
Well, anyways, that's that. What about you, Dave? What did you think about Absolute Candor?
I mean, it was nice to finally be in space and to do stuff, but like kind of like what I said earlier, just like all the past stuff seems way more interesting than the current present time stuff that's happening right now. Like the best part of the episode is just seeing Seven of Nine beam onto the ship. I'm like, yes, I love you, 7 of 9.
Do you think she's going to stay? Is she still 7 of 9, or does she go back to her her human name?
Human designation?
I mean, Anika,
Annika, Annika Hansen.
Annika, that's what it was, yeah.
Mbop, she's thinking Mbop. No, because her last name is Hansen. But, but she's, presumably the flashback next week or this coming week's episode is going to be Picard meeting her for the first time and like how they didn't have a very good relationship or something. Cause he's calling her stuff, but he recognizes her. So he either just recognizes her by reputation or he's interacted with her before. And since the show has done a flashback every single episode, presumably it'll be like their first interaction and how they don't really super particularly get along. Because according to what Jerry Ryan has said on the press junket is that she doesn't believe Picard is God. She thinks he is responsible for why the Federation has gone down the way it has, which is doesn't make a lot of sense. So
just another reason, another person to hate Picard, which is the central theme of the series right now, is everyone hates him.
Everyone hates him. Yeah, it's
really, everyone hates Raymond or loves Raymond. Everyone hates Picard.
Right. Yeah, that's what they should have called the series. Everyone hates Picard, because everyone seems to, and he's just kind of like having a real tough time. But I don't understand why she would feel that way. And then, you know, they say a lot of stuff on press junkets about how their characters act and react to each other that don't actually ever play out in the show. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if that actually plays out or not. I'm excited to see her. Her IMDb says she's going to be in like 6 or 7 episodes.
I don't think she's happy with Picard, whatever the situation is.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wish they would have like pooled their resources since they were both, you know, previously Borg. I think that would be great to have them.
I guarantee that that's a factor in their relationship. It has to be. I mean, they had to have chosen her for a reason.
Yeah, right. I hope they've chose Hugh for a reason, but he just sat there and watched Romula pull a gun on Soji. So, I mean, like, Hugh hasn't done anything either. They're bringing back all these characters. They're not doing anything with them yet. Right. I'm just like, come on, for the love of God, do something with these characters. I mean, like, it's like Discovery, man. Like, they're just like, they just spend so much time treading water. And then, like, by the time the story starts, there's no time to tell it. And so the ending resolution is going to be rushed and unfulfilling. I've got a bad feeling about it because the end of season one Discovery was just so unfulfilling. They just, like, rushed to the end with, like, no time. Like, you've wasted 3 or 4 episodes a season. You could have built to a more fulfilling, exciting ending. And they just, like, rushed it in, like, 2 seconds. Oh, yeah, we signed a peace treaty. It's fine. Like, what? How? Why? When?
Knowing that it's come back for season two, I think that's not going to be the case.
I know. It's just it's just frustrating that and the thing is, they're, I don't know. Patrick Stewart has said Picard is supposed to be 3 to 4 seasons. They're not set on it. And that it's supposed to be one continuous story, whereas Discovery was supposed to have different themes each season. So there's going to be a hard stop. So I guess Picard doesn't have the hard stop at the end of the first season. It can continue on more so than Discovery did. But still, like, it's just time management, people. It is just discouraging seeing Discovery do terrible time management with 15 episodes. And Picard's doing the same thing. Terrible, terrible time management and getting a story together and keeping it exciting. Honestly, like, I mean, like, there's been parts of the episodes I've liked, but my overall consensus of the first 4 episodes, I've just kind of been bored. They haven't been great. They haven't been terrible. They've just been, like, in that middle road, and I'm just waiting for it to, like, spike. That's kind of my takes on it so far. I'm just worried that
it hasn't. What about you, Aaron?
Well, first, every time I hear absolute candor, I always think of Kandor, the city of Krypton that was shrunk by Brainiac.
City of Kandor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think of that, so yeah. I can't stop thinking of little tiny people flying around in a little bell jar. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I liked a lot about this episode. I loved seeing Picard go down to the planet of Vashti first and meeting with everybody and seeing young Elnor and then him coming back and seeing the repercussions of what happened when the Federation and nobody were helping. Yeah. And everything failed and Elnor kind of resentful. I think he's an interesting character. I was extremely dubious of this character I first saw him on, like, you know, like I saw some, like, in the trailer and some shots of him. It's like, what the hell is this guy? I mean, I felt like it was Legolas, you know, from
this episode did have some Lord of the Rings vibes to it. I remember watching the preview for this episode. I'll lend you my sword. I'm like, and my axe.
In my ass. In my bow.
In my asshole.
Oh, jeez. But I like Elnor. I really do. So I'm kind of like excited to see where that character, and I think the candor side of things will be kind of funny to hear him say little like quips and stuff like that. So that'll be refreshing.
Yeah.
For sure. It'd be nice to have the show have some levity to it.
The Doctor is pretty funny.
I'll agree. Yeah. I was thinking it should be like Spock in Star Trek 4. Kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that would be a good dynamic.
I love seeing the Romulan Warbird from the original series come out of mothballs. That's just fun to see.
It was beautiful.
It's fun to watch that.
The only thing I'm sad about that was they didn't get a great undershot of the bird.
Yeah, of the feathers or plumage. Let's see, what else? The other thing is, as we were saying, everyone hates Picard. So one of my favorite movies of the Star Trek universe has always been, Dave, you know, and probably Holly, you know, is Wrath of Khan. And it had a lot to do with, to me, it's a multi-layered movie when you look at, and Kirk dealing with all the repercussions of his youth now coming back to haunt him. You know, he has a failed relationship with this woman that he had a child with that he never even really knew much about. So he was kind of out of contact with the child, and he has to live with that repercussion. And then stranding Khan on a planet, and Khan comes back for revenge. You know, I mean, all this stuff, it's like, it's just this midlife issues and you're dealing with it. I'm seeing echoes of this and this on these shows where Picard made choices and they've come back to haunt him now. And it's an interesting dynamic because we saw Picard on this lofty hill, you know, for so long. You know, he's the captain of the Enterprise, and he always seemed to have the best judgment and most wisdom with everything. And then all of a sudden we see that maybe, you know, maybe he's not as wise as we thought he was. He just is a morally an upright person. But he can make mistakes.
And I think what it boils down to is that he doesn't play the gray area well.
Yeah.
At least in his later life. Again, like I was saying before, before he was all about the gray area, he was all being diplomatic about everything. Whereas now he's kind of leaned more towards the, you know, this is the right way. This is the way it should be done. Maybe not necessarily always the best thing for everybody. And that's starting to come back on him.
Well, and the fact that he threw in the towel 14 years ago, you know, as, you know, like, I have to make a stand, I have to do something, and he quits Starfleet, but then he never even goes back to, like, to the planet with the nuns, and never even tries to, like, I mean, he could do that even on his side project. Like, him and Rafi is like, you know, you just kind of, like, left me.
Right.
They could have gotten a little like Firefly class ship and just ferried people around the universe.
Yeah.
In the first episode, he says, "I've been waiting to die. I haven't been living."
Yeah.
Where do you think this is going for the character? Where his character arc is going? Do you think
the grave?
Is he going to redeem himself? Is he going to be as right as wrongs? Are people going to? What's people's view of him? Is that going to change?
I'm hoping there's redemption for his character. I mean, I hope that Elnor has realized that he's, you know, not a terrible person, and he just made some bad choices. You know, Rafi the same way. I think Rafi's, there's something, obviously, when you get to Free Cloud, there's something there that she doesn't want to go back to, or something. She's very edgy about Free Cloud, so something else is going on with Rafi that we don't know. Well,
speaking
yet.
Speaking of Free Cloud, if you've seen the preview for next week, it looks like Space Pirates. Ice Pirates.
Like a floating Vegas.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's good. It looks fun, actually.
But Picard's got an eye patch.
Like a heist. Yeah, like a heist episode. I don't know. I think there's going to be some redemption for him. Like, they're basically, he'll make up for what he did, you know, over those years. I don't know. I'm hoping that his character kind of redeems himself in some way, but it's an interesting dynamic because the character's not on that pedestal anymore.
Right.
You know, and obviously his age makes him in a decline state as well. So it makes him feel like, you know, maybe he's not as powerful and potent as he used to be. But he's definitely, Same person underneath, so it's not all bad. I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic that I don't think we see too often.
Do you think we see Picard's death at the end of the series?
Yes,
I think I was thinking possible.
I definitely believe I see that.
I think he might even die before the series. He'll probably die late season 3 or early season 4 if there's going to be something like that. And then
really? I'm thinking sometime in season 2.
Maybe
say the same thing.
I just think it's going to be toward the end, and then his crew will like take up his mantle. I mean, people were guessing he might die in season 1, which would be way too early. But
right,
Patrick Stewart is expensive. Who knows?
If they kill him in season,
sorry, yeah, Patrick.
Yeah, if they kill him on season 1, it's kind of like pulling the rug out from their whole audience. I mean, if they do it. Even if they cross over to season 2.
CBS is dumb enough to do that, though, or evil enough to do that. I mean, I talked about this months ago when that was a rumor before the show came out, when it was a rumor that they might – it wasn't a rumor. It was speculation that they might be dumb enough to kill Picard. I'm just like, I wouldn't put it past CBS to do that after 2 seasons of Discovery being not as good as it could have been, and so far Picard not being as great as it could be. I would not put it past them.
I finally started watching the shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't watched them. They're lovely.
Some are better than others.
Yeah, I agree. The one with I like the one with that took place during the original Con episode. That
The tardigrade.
That was fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But well, I mean, they not having obviously with Discovery where it is, I think they're kind of banking on Picard, kind of riding the ship a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to happen, especially if they kill him off after next year. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Who knows what they're going to do?
I mean, they got to make the crew super likable to carry the show after they kill Picard. But, like, you know, if they leave Jerry Ryan as like captain and commander of the ship, I would be fine. But if they get rid of Jerry Ryan and Patrick Stewart, I don't know. I don't know how great the show will be.
I mean,
you need one headliner to carry the show, I think.
Right.
And I don't think any of the other ones are big enough to be headliners.
I wasn't thinking this a possibility, but, I mean, he could become one of the holograms if he dies.
No, they're going to kill him so they don't have to pay him money, Holly.
You're not thinking about the storyline. You're just thinking about the network.
I'm thinking about logistics, but you can't separate the two nowadays. You just can't.
You should separate them because
logistically you can't. You've got to take into account what the studio will do because the studio is in the control. I mean, I want the story to be good. Yeah, they could make him a hologram. He could come up as a cameo. But if they're killing him, they probably won't.
Let me ask you guys something. What if it's just pure speculation? What if Rios is actually the captain? Is actually a hologram?
That would be kind of great.
He is. Well, we'll find out next episode
if he gets off the ship or not.
He could just be a part of the ship, part of the crew.
What if it's just basically a robotic ship?
Yeah,
AI ship.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, especially with the synth ban.
Mm-hmm.
Having an intelligent robot on the team would be great.
I feel like it's weird for them to draw the line at the sense, but no, the holograms are fine.
Right, the people that are actually saving lives.
That's really freaking weird. There's a weird double standard in Starfleet, and I don't know if the writers have thought about it that strongly.
But if you look at our life now, people are more concerned about convenience. Like, if we build robots that can think for themselves, that's terrifying. But if we build robots that can't think for themselves, that can just do everything we want to do it for us and do it better, hey, let's do that.
Driving cars.
That's it, driving cars.
Yeah, but I mean, that's essentially what the all those, they control the ships, they control everything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But
we've done Holograms Gone Wild episodes before. It's not like holograms are innocent in this story.
And I wasn't on the episode. I don't think I was on the episode where we talked about the actual incident on Mars, but I think that what's the name of the group of Romulans that are not the
Zadvash.
Zadvash.
Zadvash, yeah.
I think they infiltrated all the synths. I think
it's
it was
possible.
Them.
It's or maybe it's, what if it's Bruce Maddox or what if well, it's
that, no? I think it was them, that, and I think I that thinking. They did it to turn the entire galaxy against synths because that's their whole MO. Their MO is to eradicate that. That whole possibility, and I think they would have done that just to turn the people against them.
Well, that's the thing. A distinct possibility.
I think what I was saying, you weren't on that episode, Holly, but I think what I was saying was that maybe the Romulans had like worked out, or Maddox had worked out some kind of deal with the Romulans to get access to Borg tech in exchange for sabotaging Mars.
Maybe.
By the way, I like that they addressed in this episode, they addressed the fact that the perception of Picard was, they were saying, well, we could have done it ourselves. We didn't need your help.
Yeah.
Which was finally addressed. I don't think that's really been, I don't think they've really touched on that yet. Because what made me think of that is by if they were to have sabotaged the synths, that would have, which it did do, disrupted the efforts to save the planet and to save the evacuation. But if they felt they could have done it by themselves, they wouldn't need the synths anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, but who knows? I mean, the Romulans are layered in their motives, and like what they say and what they do are two different things always. So
I mean, you know how in the first couple episodes we were talking so much about how they're setting up so much stuff, and none of it has come to fruition. Like they're just not. I mean, like it's great when you have a story with layers and all this stuff happening. And I want that to happen, but it's just, I think I said this episode one, it's just like they're setting up so much story. I don't think there's enough time in 10 episodes for them to do it.
Nah.
And they haven't really built up on anything. It's been such a slow burn. Like there's not going to be enough time to address half the stuff they like threw at us in the first episode.
Well, I don't see what happened on Mars or get into it this season.
I mean, part of the reason why I love Doctor Who is because 30 years later, they pull something out and it's like, hey, that was set up 30 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't think it has to happen every season. Just because to show you something doesn't mean it's going to come out at the end of that season. That's just framework.
Yeah, but Doctor Who sometimes is some very clever retconning, too.
Doctor Who does a lot of retconning, from what I understand.
Just talking Star Trek, it doesn't have to happen in the same season.
I agree.
It's okay to be a base layer. It's okay.
But Picard's a short-run series. It's going to be 3 to 4 seasons max, and they probably
will. They are going to have a spinoff.
Well, I agree with that. And that's what I've been saying. I've been saying from the get-go, from everything I can tell with this series, they're totally changing the landscape of the Star Trek universe now, and I think it's going to be interesting how what plays out after these, you know, whatever 2 or 3 seasons or maybe 4, where this is all going, because they are going to build a new show off of all this.
And
oh yeah.
And we already have Discovery, and we've seen that one of the short treks is tied into Picard, so it's not a stretch that the two shows are going to merge, and maybe not merge and stay merged, but they're going to come together.
Michael Byrne will show up with their Red Angel suit.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that they'll be linked somehow. Control, the general distrust of AI and how AI is evil and how they're going to the future and everything's taken over. AI, I think, is going to play into a lot of Season 3 as well, and I think it's going to cross between this and Picard, I believe. I mean, if it doesn't, who knows? But, I mean, it does seem very likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Jeff, to answer your question you asked, I don't know, like 15, 20 minutes ago, I think that Picard's character it's really just he's going up against the Federation and that he is essentially going to become a rebel.
No, you think
that's,
so?
That's what I think. And we talked about it before the first episode. I think that's what's going to happen. I think he's going to go up against the Federation. I think he's going to fight against the corruption and rebel and start an uprising, maybe a revolution. Maybe there's going to be another war. I don't know.
That'd be hilarious. Sort of like a Les Miserables or something.
That's right. Well, maybe not a musical form, but, you know.
That'd be funny. Yeah, that'd be funny.
That's what I think.
Well, that's a lot of cool stuff, and there's a lot of cool stuff to come ahead. I agree with Dave in some points. I think the weakest part right now is the Soji Narek storyline. I want to see that develop more, or something come out of it.
I would love to see it develop too. Just do something with it. Don't repeat what you've been doing. Just do something new. Like, I want to know why Soji's there. Like give me, I mean, Soji doesn't even seem like she knows but she's there. Does she know or does she not? Is she playing like what his sister said to him? Like, is she playing him? Like, there's no indication of anything of what's happening there. It's just, they're just spinning their wheels. And I'm like, come on, let's get somewhere.
She could know. So I think the first episode I had that thought because I don't think Dodge knew.
They don't know until
Soji could know.
If she turns out to be evil and knowingly the whole time, I would love that.
I don't know if she's going to be evil, but like, I feel like she's probably like closer with their quote unquote mom, you know, even though their mom like put her to sleep a couple episodes back, maybe last episode.
Yeah.
I feel like she's a little more in on it. I feel like they put Dodge away from the issue as kind of like the backup. Maybe Dodge was supposed to be the destroyer. Who knows? But I don't know. I think she might know more than we think she knows, but I don't think she's evil. Mm. Although, I love a villain.
See, the thing is, Dodge didn't start having visions of Picard and stuff like that until she woke up, until she became activated. Soji's not activated, so Soji is probably ignorant of anything. She just thinks she's there to help the Borg.
Or she has known all along that she was conditioned to be this way. You don't know. We don't know yet.
We don't know, but based on what we saw with the first one, she didn't start having visions and stuff until she became activated, when she started getting more access to her positronic brain and seeing images of Picard and all this stuff like that. So presumably Soji is also dormant and doesn't know anything, that she wasn't in her basic operating program.
Yeah.
Speaking of positronic brain, something I've wanted to ask you guys for a little since the season started. Why didn't Starfleet have a backup of Data?
Because he was a person. He had a right to his own.
But you would think even Data would be like, you guys may want to have a like a just in case, like a failsafe.
You know why?
Geordi would have been like, let me just copy some files. I'm going to a flash drive for later.
Jeff?
In case you crash, we can reboot you.
Jeff?
Right.
Star Trek doesn't understand how data transfer works.
Oh, okay.
We saw this in every single version of Star Trek and in Discovery. They think whenever you move data, it erases it from the place it went before. That's not how it works. When you move data, it makes a copy, but they don't understand that. So when they're trying to like hide the files from control by moving the files that the Sphere had, they basically made two copies. Like that's how files work in the real world. So they really were making their problem worse, but they're giving control more ways to get the data. But whatever. But in Star Trek world, for whatever reason, when you move a file, it literally moves. It doesn't copy.
My take always was Data's engineering of his Posak brain was so advanced that people just couldn't figure out how it actually worked.
Did he?
He just kind of like threw his personality and memories into Data. Just uploaded all that stuff.
If he could figure that out, they should have used him to like back up Data.
But Dave was to know him was to love him.
Was to know him. Yes, so, I know.
But from that, my understanding was basically that it was, I mean, and even the doctor from Schizoid Man, whatever that doctor's name,
Salar.
I can't remember. Salar, yeah. No, it wasn't Salar, was it?
Yeah, Dr. Salar was in that episode. I think that was the first episode.
Oh, that was Susie the doctor. That wasn't the doctor that took Data. Anyways, whatever, blah, blah, blah. that they just... they couldn't replicate it, and like even before at the end of Nemesis, they thought that maybe he might develop back into Data, but apparently his neural net was never advanced enough.
But he did in the original Countdown comic.
I know, Dave. And then Lore was obviously a homicidal maniac, so
yep, he liked scrambling Borg brains.
Yeah, he wasn't a good guy.
Yep.
Guys, well, let's wrap it up. I mean, it's okay, been...
I have a question, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My question's for Jeff.
Please.
Okay. So, what do you think of the opening credits?
I love them.
Yeah?
It's very un-Star Trek-y, a little bit, but I love it. I think they're great. I don't know if you have an option to skip them or not, but I don't.
Even though it's the same every time, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's not like, I mean, like Netflix series will have like new opening credits for some episodes, you know, to hint at what the episode's about, like Lock and Key and some others. But no, I love them. I think it's great. I like the music.
Mm-hmm. I think that I totally appreciate everything that they did visually for the opening credits. And one of the things I think about whenever I watch that is how all of these broken pieces of Picard's past make him who he is, and that's why they all come together, like, and form him. So I thought I would ask.
Thank you, and it's a hell of a lot better than Enterprises.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, it's God. Been a long time.
It's been a long time. There to hear. That's not saying much.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's and not actually, saying think, much at all.
And actually, I think Discovery has kind of like a similar thing where I think the first couple episodes of Discoveries, they're the same, and then they kind of steadily change, and they have different things in each, I don't know, frame. Yeah. But I absolutely love Picard's.
Well, you know, it's also, I listened when I went to work, as I'm a copywriter by train right now, so I listened to film scores while I'm writing, and mostly Michael Giacchino, who does some of Star Trek, and Jerry Goldsmith comes up a lot, and you realize how they basically just they mined Jerry Goldsmith's score for the motion picture for every Star Trek theme afterwards. Right. They just took every single theme you wrote for that film. They took it for a Star Trek theme later down the line.
Right.
But I think this might be the first one that they haven't.
Yeah, that's true. Although I'm a big Horner fan from the original.
Star Trek 2? Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's such a good score.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, let's save to the next episode. We're going to be talking the next episode is Stardust City Rag. So another Jonathan Franks directed episode. So that's going to be pretty exciting. Jeff, why don't you give people all the contact information if you can? I know you're in a...
Yeah, we're in flux right now. We're mid-transport. Mm-hmm. It's Film Dumpster on Facebook. Right now, that's the best place to catch us because our website is currently in transition. When the website's up and running, you can actually check out some of our previous interviews we've done. I've interviewed a lot of Star Trek cast members, Shatner and Maria Sirtis and Denise Crosby, George Takei, and Walter Koenig. So those are all be up there. In the meantime, just check us out at Facebook, Film Dumpster.
Nice. Awesome. Very nice. As for us, you can find us on our website, synthaholic.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. If you have something more to say, something maybe a little more long-winded, please let us know. And if you want us to read your email online, we'd love to do that as well and react to it. You can tweet us, as I said before, at synthaholicsduo. And if the show is something you want to contribute to, please go to our Patreon, patreon.com/synthaholics, and throw us some money that way. Another great way, as always, to support the show is to share the show either on social media or just by word of mouth by your friends. That's greatly appreciated. It's a great way to help the show. Guys, I'm still liking this episode. I know it's, I mean, these episodes, I know they're moving a little slow, but I'm enjoying myself with Picard. I think it's a fun show so far. I
agree.
I mean, once I see all the pieces, it could be like Deep Space Nine and it just like, whoa, I'm not there yet. Maybe. Who knows?
Oh, we'll see. But anyways, guys, thanks you so much for joining us. Jeff, thank you for coming on the show and talking Picard.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
Meet you, Jeff.
And we'll get you back for the finale, Jeff.
I'd love to. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. That'd be great.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. As always, live long and prosper, one and all. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Woo! So when I was ranting about the people about how many people subscribe to CBS All Access, Kaylee was doing some math based on the people that like subscribe to it, and apparently like for young adults it'd be like 0.05%.
Really?
Most people would be in the 20 to 50 range, and like anyone younger than that, it's going to be like almost nil.
Well, it's been like a kind of an issue with me is that you're only drawing in Star Trek fans pretty much. They're going to subscribe to the service. Maybe there's some outsiders that want to watch something else that's on CBS All Access, but it's very, I mean, like Star Trek got a lot of people into it by just hanging out with, you know, your dad or your mom or somebody watching it on family TV time, you know, and
right. Yeah.
And it's not a thing anymore. So
that, but also think about stream sharing.
Sure, that's
true. I mean, I'm not saying that I use someone else's streaming service.
Really? You don't?
I'm not saying
huh?
that. I am not saying I'm not a jailbroke Fire Stick that I watch it on. I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that.
I actually subscribed to CBS All Access this past week only because I couldn't get on the Fire Stick. It kept freezing up on me. It was buffering. So I just did a week subscription so I could watch this episode. Nice. And I don't plan on keeping it. Well, I don't.
But like that's gonna affect those numbers because people are sharing their streaming with, you know, their friends, their friends. So like parents are buying it, or maybe children are. Well, I wouldn't say children, but maybe, you know, young adults are paying for it and sharing it with their families, yeah. And like the, you know, well, so you can't really yeah.
Star Trek has
count
a specific
that.
Audience,
right?
And I know a lot of people's arguments are in, like, you know, Holly, you point out they're trying to cater to new people, but I'm like, are they? Are these new people that they're catering to actually watching it?
Even moving when Next Gen and DS9, they were still in syndication. When they went to Voyager and it to a set network at a set time, I think that probably hurt.
Hurt what?
To a lesser extent. Like you were saying, right now, the franchise as a whole. Because okay. What you're saying, only Star Trek people are watching this series right now. They really are.
Probably.
No Star Trek fans are looking for this series right now. They're not subscribing and looking. Much the same way when Voyager came out, I think mostly at that point it wasn't being found by people anymore. Where in with Next Generation and DS9, it was in syndication. It would come up at 6 o'clock in the afternoon or at night, and people would find it.
Yeah.
So it was getting a broader audience. When Voyager went to UPN exclusively, I think that probably hurt it probably lessened their fan base a little bit. And it's just continuing on.
To watch Voyager, I had to unhook my cable and put on rabbit ears because the channel did not come through the cable line that we had coming to our house. It was only over air. So I had to disconnect cable and put up rabbit ears to watch Voyager. Then I had to fight with the rabbit ears to get a good signal. Like, it was bad. Well, during
I love that
Voyager
you were that
time.
Dedicated, though, for Voyager.
I love Star Trek. I mean, I always want to see new Star Trek, and I'm hard on it, but it's not because I hate it. It's just I just want it to be better. I know it can be. Get Ronald D. Moore back on the horn. Get Ronald D. Moore back. Get Ira Stephen Mayer.
When UPN came out, another show that was really popular was Homeboys in Outer Space. You guys remember that at all?
WWE SmackDown?
And I want to say that one of the James Doohan was in it? So one of the Star Trek alumni was in it as well. It was really bad.
It was really bad.
Really bad. I just really question CBS's thing. Like we said, like when we talked about The Mandalorian with Robbie, where, like, you know, The Mandalorian, they leaned hard on Star Wars knowledge, and they didn't cater to people who didn't see Star Wars, didn't understand it. They just leaned hard into what hardcore Star Wars fans knew, and it was amazingly successful, well-loved across the board. Even by people who weren't Star Wars fans, and Star Trek is not doing that.
Here's the thing, as much as I love Star Trek, the Star Wars fan base is larger right now.
Yeah.
Of course it is. It's always been.
But the thing is, like, they leaned into the knowledge, and even people who were only casual Star Wars fans liked The Mandalorian. And the thing is, you know, more people are kind of subscribing to Disney Plus. It's just a fact. All the Disney movies and everything people want to watch is on
people
there.
Go to Disney.
All the Star Wars movies are on Disney, too. So, I mean,
Going on last night, the other day, actually, on CBS All Access, was the first time I actually saw what the service offered, and it does not appeal to me.
There's not much there.
I only watch Star Trek on the service.
I tried the Twilight Zone, and every episode disappointed me.
I only watched the first one, and I was mediocrely impressed by it, and not enough to watch any other ones. It didn't blow me away, and that's the thing. It's just like they've got these shows behind the paywall, and I don't know if they're just not hiring good writers or whatever, but like they're not like bang out the gate with amazing writing that suck you in, and I don't know why that is.
Yeah, the only thing I've ever watched on CBS All Access is Star Trek, and I feel like I tried watching Young Sheldon.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, well, there's your first mistake.
Dun, dun, dun.
It hurts! It hurts!
I would keep telling me, like, all my friends would be like, oh, you don't you watch, what's the show? The show it's based on?
Big Bang Theory? I didn't record so that. What the fuck's wrong with me?
I watched it.
Vocal booth.
What are you doing?
I'm in my little vocal booth in the closet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm not at the computer, so I can't do any clicking or tapping or anything, so we'll see how this goes.
See how bored you
Holly's gonna get out of the closet.
When you say vocal booth, do you mean you've actually made a recording studio in your closet, or you just went into your shoe closet and grabbed the microphone?
No, so, well, it's, I don't have, like, a switchboard or any, like, actual equipment, but I've got, like, a mic stand in here, and my computer's right next to the outside of it, so I hung drapes, and I made some sound panels that I puzzled into the corner of the wall, and I've, like, soundproofed everything in here, so...
You still need to send me a picture of your computer and your computer specs so I can figure out if you can play games.
I got a lot of the things I got to figure out before I put that on my plate.
Taking a couple pictures isn't that hard, though, Holly.
Play some solitary.
Solitary. I used to play solitary. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. Am I starting up the show?
Yes, sir. Let me know, and I'll start a nude file for you.
Okay. Let me clear the old bronchial tubes.